Hey gang, thank you for joining us today at the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. I'm Mike McKean, sitting here with Ralph Twombly, one of the owners and founders of Priority Learning. How are you doing today, Ralph?
Terrific, Michael. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to facilitate this whole process for us, please.
Always happy to. So today we're here to talk about the Influence series, and that's been around for a few years now.
Yeah.
So how did the Influence series come about? What was the hole that it was created to fill?
That's a really good question, and it's asked more often than you might think. If you went back to pre-pandemic times, we used to run a program called coaching. And it was a nice 5-day program that everybody seemed to enjoy. We also ran a bit of a companion program called, we called it performance management. And we had been asked over the years, maybe 100 times, if we do performance management work, which we do. But they were two separate series. And as we came out of the pandemic and that deep layoff for everybody, we had a lot of time in between to really work programs together, and it seemed like a natural fit to put coaching with performance management and also to kind of slide in a bunch of industrial psychology work about motivation and why people work. And I think one of the age-old questions for leaders is, do people follow me because they have to or because they want to? And this program is really built about having people follow you because they want to.
So it really is a leadership development series in how to motivate people to want to follow you.
Yes, and I think that one of the first things you learn as a developer, an OD person, is that you can't really motivate anybody. People are motivated or they aren't. What you can do is you can create environments.
So just for everyone listening, OD in this scenario stands for organizational development.
Absolutely.
Just in case anyone wasn't aware.
That's a great point. I chuckle every time I do it. And you can create opportunities for people to do the thing they are natural at most, which is to learn. So if you create a compelling learning idea, and then you match it up with people's natural need to want to be followed, it works. This program in particular is not, I wouldn't call it a terribly advanced program. I would call it a sophisticated program. It's a program that's what we in our business call smart. It's a smart program. So there's a special kind of audience that usually gravitates towards it. And it seems to be, it's a wonderful fit. We've had a bunch of iterations now, and it's one of our more popular programs.
So that's a little bit of the why it was created and who it was created for. So who does the series benefit the most?
It usually benefits, and the reason I mentioned earlier a fairly sophisticated audience is because it benefits people who've kind of gone through the initial steps and maybe had some years of leadership in their past or management skills. And now they're kind of looking for that next evolution. It's one thing to know to be in charge of people's lives. One of the great gifts and great burdens of this life is leadership. I mean, it's a great gift because you get the honor of leading people. But it's also a tremendous burden because a lot of people's lives are impacted by your decisions and your behaviors and things like that. So most people aren't really interested in having that kind of level of responsibility. So if you've been doing it for a fair amount of time and you've been chugging along like most good leaders do, you get to a point where you really are trying to think about, why do people do what they do? How can I make it easier? How can my life be easier? And I think that's who's drawn to this program is, are people who are generally looking for that next evolution of leadership.
Nice. So what is expected from those who show up to participate? What's the first day of school preparation kit to have?
Well, it's a good question in regard to this program, because the bar is significantly high on this one, meaning that there's 10 sessions, and each session is a deep dive into something that's pretty heady. So basically what they learn on day one is that we lay out the groundwork of style and substance in terms of leadership, but more than anything else, we get them ready to take the California Psychological Instrument, or the CPI. The CPI is a beautiful and elegant tool that looks at 44 aspects of leadership and puts you on a spectrum compared to all other leaders across the country. So It's held and managed by the Center for Creative Leadership down in the Carolinas. We have license to participate in it, but it's something that's truly unique when you look at 44 aspects of your leadership life and how you kind of come out on a scale. Yeah. And throughout the life of the program, we return to that CPI, which people find really compelling. And it's a great benchmark for all of us to build our leadership skills. So day one is really preparation for the big event, which starts on day two, and kind of unveiling their CPI to each of them. Day two can be scary for people because maybe they're disappointed in what they see in those initial diagnostics, and sometimes they're delighted. But you find out very quickly that not everything that's a high mark is definitely a good thing.
Right.
That's the first thing you learn in the CPI. For instance, if there's a sociability piece in there. And if you're just really, really sociable, doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good leader.
Right.
It just means you're sociable. And so sometimes they will come back and they'll say, I'm too sociable. That's really not our call. It's really a process through 10 days for them to look at their style, make adjustments. There's nothing in the CPI that you can't personally change.
Mm.
Unlike personality work that we do a lot of around here, like Myers-Briggs,
right,
which is kind of pretty much around mom and dad and what they left you for DNA. The CPI is a learned craft, and you can take any particular category, get to work on it, and improve it. And I think that's what they like most about the whole process.
So when graduates are walking away from this series, what are typically some of the things that they're walking away with in terms of tools and skill sets and just general change?
There are two things that stand out when we watch the graduate groups go. Number one is because the program is 10 full days in length, usually scattered out to the better part of a year, they have created such a bond between each other that they have created an internal network. Those networks carry on. This is the group that seems to get together and go out and have a beer later. And this is the group that 6 months after they've had their graduation are still catching up and wanting to get together and go out and spend time together. Mm. That's the first piece. So the aspect of having a network of people learning the same thing in the same way that you're learning is a big driving force. The second thing is really taking a look at the psychology of work differently than it was when they came in. I think most people really, you're a good lad. I'm always asked the question, are leaders made or are they born? And I would say yes. There's a certain predisposition in certain people, some more than others, to want to lead. But the real craft of leadership is learned.
Mm.
And so they've been learning the same things for a very long time, and they're using their own examples, and they are exponentially learning throughout the process. So they walk away with a deep learning of understanding of motivation, of what success means, of even the ideas of how to view people differently.
Yeah.
Because we go through an extensive hiring process inside of the CPI. And so we teach people how to hire differently and throughout the program. So there's a lot of learned lessons in it. But when we put the program together and we went out on the first run, we thought, we'll learn a lot from it. And people told us how to make all the changes, and we did. And in fact, we videotaped the graduation from the first one, which turned out to be really a big thing. We had a couple of companies bring in their audio-visual people to come in and build video around the graduation day.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when it comes to who should be signing up, who's going to receive the most benefit, or who might really be able to use these skill sets, who would you suggest?
Let me do this by omission. I think that sometimes because people can sign up and do whatever they want, sometimes people will get into a program and find out that this is kind of the deep end of the pool, and they haven't really learned to swim well. So, you know, they can make it through the program, of course. We're not those people. There's no test. So they can go through the program, but they struggle. We find out that people who have had some experience with leadership, who have a real hunger to get better at it, are usually the right audience. So it's hard to classify them in a certain place inside your organization.
Right.
So we've seen line-level leaders who are ready for this program. Mm. We've also seen senior managers who should have had this program.
Yeah.
So there's an audience who gets hungry who's willing to stretch beyond what they are used to doing as leaders. Because you can go to a myriad of things and learn about different techniques and get tools and all those kind of things. This program is really designed for the professional leader who wants to learn and really get to the next level.
So, expanding a little bit on what you mentioned, how many people come into this series who are, you know what, I should have had this years ago and it would have made things so much easier? And how many of them are, you know what, I think this is going to be really useful for the years to come?
I think mostly they're in that second category.
Yeah.
It's going to be useful for the years to come. Sometimes we'll get people who say, I really wished I'd gone to an easier program first. Because we, as you know, we have programs, the Associate POP program, Direct Managers programs, we have all kinds of programs. And people say, you know, I feel like I skipped a grade and I missed algebra. So, you know, I think this is one of those kind of things where you can get there and it can be a real stretch. And what happens sometimes early in the CPI process, California Psychological Instrument, sometimes people see their diagnostic and they're disappointed. And they wish they had done maybe some of the practical factor kind of things in leadership before they got there. Generally, I will tell them that's mostly them concerned. We're not. I think they can learn things. And we've also had people who go to that program and go back a program.
Yeah.
We have one guy who went to this particular influence program, went through the whole thing, did a great job. And before he left the graduation, he said, I need to go back a step, because I feel like I missed a whole bunch of pieces. And so he went back and took direct after. As a matter of fact, he's still in the direct program.
So, I mean, it's interesting, though, because when I think as someone, you know, who has a lot of insight into priority learning but is still on the outside and looking in, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, yes, some workshops are definitely catered towards smaller skill sets and developing those skill sets. But there's no real like up down or hierarchy to these workshops.
No. I think the best way to think about it, somebody asked me and kind of pinned me down on this. What we do inside of organizations, for instance, if you take an organization that has a very rich participative culture, we're kind of natural fits for that because we really think like that. It's part of our skill set to how do you create higher levels of participation. So when you come into programs here, you'll find exactly the same thing, which means high levels of participation. Meaning that we really believe that most people can achieve whatever levels they'd like to achieve. So it's not as clear cut as like, here's the cutoff point for this or this. You know, learning is continuous.
Yeah.
We love it that sometimes we've had CEOs go to our entry level programs because they're so smart and so talented and they kind of popped right through this thing. They find themselves as a top manager short on the skills part of it, right? And so they find themselves going to basic programs to kind of shore up their own skills. And so that movement up and around. We have some real challenging programs here that I think everybody would agree are maybe the most challenging programs, which are things like our presentation facilitation program, which really is about getting up and really winning an audience.
Right.
That terrifies most people. And I mean, you and I don't kind of recognize that as an issue, but most people do. And so we get people who get the jitters big time in that program. They consider that a tremendous stretch on them. To me, I love it because they always walk away different than when they came in. And that's kind of the goal of the work that we do here.
Yeah. Cool. I just thought it was worth mentioning that these series are really very open for wherever you're at. And you can always fill in any, like I said before, it's not a hierarchical process. It's not a grade 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's just important to know that, oh, wow, this series might fill a lot of those skills that you need, but sometimes there's another series that might give you a different set of skills that you also need. So
I think coming back to something we talked about, not to get deep here in a podcast, but philosophically, when we do work inside with organizations, and we do extensive work with entire organizations who really don't even come out to public programs, what we find out is that if somebody comes on new that's on board and they wish they had been there for that initial training, coming out here and picking up in a direct manager's program or an influence program or any of our programs actually builds those skills because you won't find a lot of differences between the only thing that's different inside and out is it's tailored to the organization
right.
A little closer inside, and the exercises will be different because we don't want people to go through the same exercises in both places.
Right.
But good is good, or good content and good execution is good everywhere. And so lots of times we find people who will do a massive process inside, and then all of a sudden they bring on a new manager or a new director, and they'd say, what would fit? Now we know what we've done inside, so we can slide them into the right program. That might give them, shore up their skills and get them caught up.
Yeah. So why do we really have the Influence Series?
The big why for us is that it fulfilled a need that we had been trying, the itch we haven't been able to itch for years, which is this particular program hits all of the key points of performance management, professional coaching, in other words, being a really good leadership coach, and fulfilling that obligation of the human condition or motivation, the motivation of people and the psyche that they bring to work. People are so complicated, and I think that people are trying desperately to understand or make them one thing. We have to meet people on their own terms.
Right.
And the Influence Program is how do you meet them in their own terms, in their own place. So they can, not only you can maximize your leadership skills, but you can maximize their experience. You know, the people, work should not be drudgery. We all have to do it. It's something we should enjoy. And part of the Influence Program is how do you build organizations that people love to come to work at.
Well, Ralph, thank you so much for joining us today and going over the Influence Series. For you listeners, if you want to learn more about the Influence Series, you can go to PriorityLearningResearch.com, or you can also contact Priority Learning, and they can go over all of the ins and outs of the Influence Series with you. To find other podcasts, you can also find them at PriorityLearningResearch.com, or typically wherever you listen to your podcasts. They should generally be there. We're not everywhere, but we're most places, such as Spotify and the like. So thank you for listening to the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. We'll check you next time.